All right, welcome back into Open Gym here on Texas Sports Unfiltered. Myself, Patrick Davis, alongside Matt Gallatin of Texas Longhorns on SI. And of course, you, the third member of Open Gym. Text line's open, 512-222-9328. And of course, over there on the chat, Facebook, Twitch, X, and on YouTube. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us. It is a little bit tense. I see my man Chan on the text line says it a little tense today. It's been a little tense. Here on the show and in just in general, new T guys not making what they want to be making, and some of that's validated, some of that's not validated, some of that we don't know what the numbers are because I'm not in those rooms, so I do not pretend to know what everybody is getting. And we hear the reports and we talk to the people we do know who know some things, but you can only get what you can get, right? So it's been a little tense for a couple days now. We're trying to keep the mood in a positive way. In a day where you do lose some more guys that you were hoping to be a part of this team going forward, you know, hopefully negotiations are still ongoing with some of these young guys. We know that there are definitely negotiations still happening on the 40 acres for Texas, but it's a tense time, and it's not just tense for Texas. It's tense for a lot of schools right now as they try to upgrade their roster going into a new year. Some places, brand new coaching staff is trying to upgrade their roster. Some different places trying to figure out what they're going to do. So, you know, we're still waiting to see the end result of all of it. I get it. I'm tense about it, man. I'm on it. It's not a fun time to be on social media or doing anything else. I can tell that. If I did not do this for a living, I probably wouldn't go on social media for the next week and a half. And then I just go look up what happened afterwards, just personally, because it's how tense it makes me. Because it is like, if I did not have to do this, there'd be a part of me that just says, I can't mentally take how much hate in, how much, you know, all the weird information, everything that's getting thrown around. And then this guy's coming, this guy's not. It's a lot. So I get it. I appreciate you guys hanging with us, because you don't have to be. So we do appreciate you hanging with us and being part of it and trying to keep up with the madness and everything that's going on in college football. We'll keep going on the conversations with you on the chat. If you want to keep those going, we'll try and keep going back to you. We've been talking to you all day. We appreciate you talking with us. We're going to get into Texas basketball in here in just a minute. My blood pressure's fine. Blood pressure's fine. it is. So we'll get into basketball here in a second. And, you know, look, I'm trying to be polite about basketball. We'll get in a minute. We'll talk some NFL in a little bit later as well. Jerry Jones met with the media today. So, you know, more Jerry Jones stuff. Just not giving anybody answers they want. It's so oof. But last night we did see Texas, not surprisingly, drop a game to Tennessee. It was 85-71. Tennessee wins that game. There was fights. There were positives you could pull out of this game, Matt. It's not saying that this is the worst day ever in Texas basketball. And, oh, my God, they got completely embarrassed. They started off, played pretty well, kind of went into it a little bit. The bench started to come in. You'd see little fluctuations back and forth in this game. Some really bad plays. Tennessee was turning the ball over a lot early. They started to get that cleaned up a little bit more as it went on. Texas kind of continued to turn the ball over. We saw some missed layups early that if Texas hit, it changes what the outlook of that game looks like a little bit, especially at halftime. But just, again, really a really big piece of what Texas doesn't have and hasn't had for a few years here is consistency. And we saw that once again. We saw that once we went into this game, and what did I say? We wanted to see some consistency in points out of Tremone Mark and out of Dalen Swain. And Tremone Mark, he got us there. Tremone Mark is starting to hit a little bit of a ride of him starting to be able to play a few more minutes, him starting to take over a role. He is not the guy, and that was a problem last year, especially when Trey Johnson would get hurt. Tremone Mark's not the guy, but he's a good second, third option, right? That's where Tremone Mark is. He gets back to that number. Daylon Swain, however, he takes three shots in the game. One of those is a missed layup off a steal to start the game. It is that stuff cannot happen for Daylon Swain. He has to become more consistent. He's a young player, but you have to get more and more consistent on that. The big story out of the game, though, is foul problems are still there. You get outscored 44-18 in points in the paint. You don't really get killed rebounding. You didn't do great rebounding, but you don't get murdered on offensive rebounds. You only allowed 15 second chance points. You actually had more second chance points than Tennessee. So there was a lot of decent things that you could look at and say Texas did fight. They fought better in the second half. They actually win the second half 38-37. Now, part of that is, you know, by the end of this game, it was a little bit out of control. And so, but Texas does fight back in the second half at a point. They do show more effort. And this was, man, Sean Miller showing his push for the first time. Benches Modus Voikatidis, who was in foul trouble, but he benches him because he's not playing inside with the effort he needs defensively. Benches Jordan Pope. Those two guys only have a few minutes. Lita Senior Trey Orr doesn't play a ton in the second half as well. We get a little Declan Giroux. We get a lot more Nick Cody coming in because he wants an effort out of Nick Cody, and Cody's not ready. Simeon Wilcher may not be ready, but they showed the effort. And that was the big talking point for Sean Miller after the game, was effort, energy, wanting to be there. And here is a clip from Sean Miller. He talked about it all for the 7 minutes, whole 7 minute press conference. He talked about energy and effort. Here's him talking a little bit about benching guys. Like we told him, if you want to get your message across, you got to bench him. But here's Sean Miller's message.
Surprised to be talking about effort this much at this point in the year, having to talk about effort.
You know, I became the coach here on March 28th, and it was a very chaotic 10 weeks, 8 weeks after. You know, in today's world, when you come in, you know, just it's kind of like you got a clean slate. And you have to make a lot of decisions and build a team in a hurry. So, no, I think we learn more and more about individuals on our team. I think we learn more and more about our team as each practice, each week goes, and really the next opportunity, right? You learn from Mississippi State. I thought I learned a lot tonight. We had a couple guys that just really didn't want to play. And if you don't want to play, you're not allowed to enter the game. You can't be the guy caught up in your own world, your own effort level, things that are happening to you. It's so much about this game. It's about the team. And you have to be able to play defense and offense. I liked our effort so much better in the second half. And one of the reasons our effort level was good is the guys in the game were playing at a much greater effort level.
So there is Sean Miller after the game, and this is where there's the good and the bad. It's the good and the bad. Is the good is, yes, you were able to find some players who did go out there and put in the effort and fight on both ends of the field, the basketball court. He found some of those guys. He found some people that were able to go and try and fight and stay in the game and not get put down when they missed a shot and then not play defensively on the next possession. Guys that were trying to go after it. Guys who weren't 0-for-3 in the first half and then really didn't get a play in the second half, Jordan Pope. And guys like Modus Voikatidis, who doesn't play defense without fouling. He doesn't want to use his body. He doesn't necessarily want to get beat up defensively. He's a good offensive player right now, but he doesn't use his body well on the defensive end of the ball whatsoever. And he ends up getting into foul trouble again and again and again and again. And he just got in massive foul trouble early. And Sean Miller got mad at those two guys. Lucina Traore, who is another, that's a Sean Miller guy. Came with him from Villanova, or came with him from Xavier. That's a Sean Miller guy. He didn't really play a lot in the second half because his effort was fouling and not really going in there and bumping bodies and doing the hard work. A lot of those guys, especially in the post, they defend only when the ball's in front of them. They don't pay attention. They don't have the concentration to fight when there's no ball around them. So they're not fighting for position forever. And the balls are getting inbounded really close to the basketball, really back close to the basketball hoop. And that's a really way harder way to play defense if you're just letting them pick where they want to start and then you start playing defense. You have to start playing defense in the post at the three-point line. You have to start playing the defense in the post further and further out to try and bump your guy, take him off, win the battle of attrition. And the big guys for Texas don't want to do that. And I'll give Cam Heidi credit. He was trying to do that more. He's not good at it. He's not big enough at it, but he was trying. He was trying to do it. He hit some shots in the game. Cam Heidi was 4 from 9 for 3. He played better. He played with effort. On the flip of that, the fact that Sean Miller cannot make his team believe with some players that he needs to have believe is a really big red flag. The fact that he says this is Sean Miller's team and you got to play for Sean Miller's team and you got to understand this is not the alpha that I was told was coming to the University of Texas that could really make people believe and want to be in it. If you want to talk about X's and O's and teaching players and all that, that's a lot of what assistant coaches do. One of the biggest roles for a head coach in college basketball is to be the guy to get the best out of your players every game. So while I do like he benched his players, I'm all for it. I'm hoping this helps him grow, hoping this helps the team move forward. On the flip of that, stop pretending that you had nothing to do with this roster. Because if you did, then we should fire you already. Because how the hell do you walk in and have time to rebuild your roster and don't know what Jordan Pope is and don't know what Tremone Mark is and don't know what this team is? How the hell do you not know that? Did you just go up to five guys and go, hey, what do you think about Jordan Pope? And they go, oh, he's cool. And you go, cool, let's go give him another six-figure deal. Is that what you said? Because if you did, I'm done with you. I don't think that's true. I just don't think you cared enough. I think it came in, and when you were really good, you were good at Arizona. And you know what Arizona has? Structure. They have a whole basketball world. And you know what you were brought in to do? Build that world for Texas. We don't have it. You need to build it. And you didn't. You walked in and acted like we knew what we were doing. Clearly, Texas has no freaking clue what they are doing in basketball. We have it in 10 years. And you came in and acted like we already had a system set up. We had nothing. And you came in and said, now keep the players. People are blaming Rodney Terry for the roster. Like he had all carte blanche to bring in whatever players he wanted. And like Sean Miller didn't have carte blanche to say, I don't want Jordan Pope still on this team. Of course he did. He could have gone out. He got Simeon Wilcher. He could have got two more other point guards. They wouldn't have been as good, but who cares? You could have got guys who play every night for you. Instead, you didn't. That's your team. This is supposed to be, you're supposed to be a builder, a program builder. That's why you were hired. That's what you do better than Rodney Terry, because it sure as hell ain't coaching right now. Sure as hell ain't inspiring kids. What you do better than Rodney Terry, what you are brought in to do is to be a program builder. And from day one, you didn't do it. So now we're a year behind where we should be. We are one season behind because you didn't do it to start. Because you just trusted in what we were going to do. You just trusted. No, Tark, sorry, you know, Texas, they got stuff figured out. They know what's up. They couldn't be this inept in basketball that they fired Chris Beard, who built a kind of shell of an organization, but he wasn't done building it. It never got done of what was supposed to be done and bringing in more people. You have to fix those problems. And if you don't want to work hard enough to do it, then Texas should find somebody else who does. I believe Sean Miller could still be the guy who builds this program. 100% could be the guy. I like that he benched the players last night. I like that they competed in the second half. There was positives last night. There's plenty of positives to Sean Miller. But please, and every Texas fan who goes, this is what all of us Texas fans are thinking. You know what I'm not thinking? I don't get the paycheck to make them better. So don't lump me in that this is what I'm thinking, what Sean Miller's thinking. No, the team's underperforming and you're the coach and you get paid millions of dollars to do it. Don't act like it's you. It's somebody else's fault. It's your fault that the roster's not right. It's your fault that these guys don't want to show up and play. And it's your fault that they're not ready to play defense at any sort of level remotely SEC level. So until you want to come out and go, guys, this season's on me at the end of the season. I know you can't do it now. Until you want to come out at the end of the season and go, guys, it's on me. I came in and misjudged Texas entirely. And that's on me. I trusted people I shouldn't have trusted here because they don't know what the hell they're doing. The good guys, no basketball, bad scouts. We just screwed up. So I'm going to start over. Year one rebuild starts next year. But this is, again, a team that might not win another game this season. I hope I'm wrong. They ain't going to be a 19-win team. They ain't going to be a tournament team. I want them to be better. I was rooting for them last night. They fight back in the second half. I'm rooting for them. I want this team to win. I want to be wrong. I want Sean Miller to prove me wrong. I want those players to prove me wrong. But right now, you're brought in to build a program, not to be a fix-it coach with a shit roster. You are brought in to fix the program, and you didn't do it in year one. We're a year behind, and it's blatantly obvious when you didn't even start benching players until the second game of SEC play. Should have been benching players 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, when we still had time to try and fix some things. It's past the point of fixing now. What are you going to do? Just play? No. Bench. Tell Jordan Pope to get on the next bus back to Oregon State. You don't need him anymore. He ain't going to play. He's the exact same guy we had last year. Nothing has changed. You're just trying to believe that you could do your fix him. So, I don't believe that we should fire Sean Miller. I believe you hire a program builder with experience, and that's what you did. I don't think you told him he was a program builder. I think you told him he was a coach. He needs to be a program builder. We don't have it at Texas right now. From the top down, it needs to be continued to be built. And he needs to be the person to do it, or else go find somebody who can and hire a GM that can, or a president of basketball operations, whatever title you want to give him. Someone who can build an operation with better scouting, better playing, and better everything else. So until then, I'll be upset because I have to watch uninspired basketball. And then I have to watch people continue to pretend that this is somewhat acceptable when last year we were a decent team without talent and bad scouting and bad NIL. And this year we're just worse than that. And I don't know why we didn't get – I don't know why we got so much worse. That's what I don't get. I don't get how we got so much worse in a year. We weren't good last year, and now we're terrible. Like, it's not the players, not the staff. It's frustrating. It's frustrating.
Well, I think one of the reasons you got worse is because some of the players you lost, Trey Johnson.
Yeah.
Caden Shedrick.
Well,
hold on.
I'm sorry.
I'm just saying, like, there's obvious reasons why you got worse. I would say that maybe Texas wasn't, and I'm not making an excuse for Sean Miller in any way, shape, or form. I think he's done a terrible job so far, and I'm totally with Patrick in all of his criticisms. But I will also say that maybe they weren't aggressive enough in the transfer portal, and they kind of got stuck with, well, we have to have a roster next year, so we're just going to have to go with some of these guys and convince them to come back until we can really, you know, build this roster the way that we want it. And we're basically mailing in year one, and that sucks. We don't really like Jordan Pope. We don't really like Tremone Mark. We don't really like this guy, but we got to keep him because we don't have anybody else to play basketball for us. And maybe some of those players that came back were like, well, this is the best deal that I'm going to get, so I'm going to take it, and I'd rather play for Rodney Terry, but I'm kind of mailed in this year because I already got my check. And it's just a big mismatch of, like, bad management, bad roster construction, poor motivation for the players, poor coaching by Sean Miller, and everything in between. But I don't want to put it all on Sean Miller. I understand why he's frustrated. I understand why Patrick is frustrated. I understand why Chan Chan is frustrated, and Randy, and everybody else. But I agree, Hair of the Dog. I say let's just give it some time, and I don't want to always be the guy that comes in and says, hey, let's give it some time, because if this was a team that I was more passionate about, like if this was, you know, Ole Miss football and this was happening, I would probably be screaming from the rafters about how much everybody needs to be fired and we need to burn it down and start over and bring this guy in and fire that guy and all do all that kind of stuff. But I still think that Sean Miller is going to get it figured out. I think that he needs to get some outside help, though. And I think that outside help needs to come from CDC and giving him people around him that are going to help him build a program that will be sustainable and good in the future. And I don't think that he has that right now. And he probably is very flustered about that. So he's probably doing everything that he can to make that known to his higher ups. Like, if you want me to win, you have to give me what the hell I need. And what the hell I need is not Jordan Pope and Tramone Mark and, you know, all of these rugrats that I have on my basketball team.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm going to bench them. That's why I'm going to bench Jordan Pope.
And this is the reality. You're right about all of that. The issue I have is that Sean Miller is a 57-year-old man. Like, this man has plenty of experience. And he came in, and last season, all I did was rant and rave because everybody kept telling me Rodney Terry's an awful coach. And I go, he's not an awful coach. He's not a program builder. So I understand if you want this to work, you have to bring in somebody to run the program. He can be the coach, and you need someone to run the program. So all I said last year. We went out, and we hired another coach, and we didn't tell him, hey, we need a program builder. And he didn't know. He didn't watch enough film, take enough research on Texas to understand, oh, they need a program builder. They are not there yet. When Sark came to Texas, Sark understood what he was being brought in to do. He was being brought in to build a program, not win some games right away, not take that year's roster and build something great. He came in and said, I want to build a program. It does not feel like Sean Miller is taking that approach to this yet. And maybe you're right. Maybe his whole thing is he came in and they went, man, we paid you. We don't have the resources to hire you a new DM, hire the scouts. You want to do all that. Now, if I'm Sean Miller, I wouldn't have taken the job. I would have been like, cool, I'm good here. Like, this is not going to go well. I see how bad things are right now in the Texas basketball program. You built the Moody Center, and then that was it. Like, that was the end of how much money you were going to spend on doing this. So I would have had Miller probably say, that's why when I look at him and what experience he brings and everything he does, like, how did you not know this was going to be there? If I knew what it was, you should have known what it was. That this needed a lot more, that you needed to bring in people to go, we need to scout that. We need to, you know, we should have kept Tramone Mark. Maybe Nick Cody, if you want to keep him. Maybe John Clark, if you want to keep him. Like, some of those guys down there that are projects, you keep some of them. That was about them. And Kendall Weaver, we should have kept. But Kendall Weaver hasn't even been the guy since he got there. And that's another one where I'm like, I don't get it. I don't get why you can't use him. He was really good for two straight years for us. And he somehow completely regressed. And I get part of that is offensively, he doesn't necessarily fit into what you're trying to do. So I get that part of it. But again, you got to get your guys up to it. That one doesn't bother me as much as you built a program. You came in to build a program and you came in as a coach and are complaining because you don't have the thing. You have to do it. Because if Sean Miller just wants to be a coach, he will be gone in 3 years and we'll be in a worse place than we were 2 years ago. That's the reality. If he doesn't want to be more than a coach, like if he doesn't want to take this on himself to build up Texas, he doesn't want to be a lifetime Longhorn and say, man, by the time I'm 65, I could have things running so well that I could coach another year or two, walk off into the sunset, and I'll always have a job at Texas because I built that program back up. They're a perennial contender now, at least to be a Sweet 16 team, because there's systems in place. That's more than one guy. And we built a staff and scouts and training and everything that we needed. We've done all that. But he has to take that approach. And I know we can't fix that midseason, but that's the issue I have, is acting every time of like, man, the next 8 weeks were really just a whirlwind. But you didn't. You got modest. You went, look, European scouting. I really like he did European scouting. I like that he brought that in. That's something he brought in. Texas didn't do before. There's positives. I don't want to just be the negative guy, but I get worked up because it's such a bad product, and he seems to not be taking accountability for his role in it. And that to me, as a motivator, as a coach of what a real coach is, the fact that he walks out there every week and goes, man, I tell you, if they just gave me the best players in the league, I'd be really good. It's your job. It's your job is to get those players. Your job is to coach these players up. And you can't just go, no, I'm literally just giving them a system. That's what assistant coaches do. Assistant coaches do X's and O's. Head coaches do more. That's what I like. And I think he could do all of this. I just think he's being lazy. And he was lazy at the beginning. He didn't want to work 25-hour days.
Is he being lazy, or are the players that are playing for him?
No, everybody. There's more of him. I'm just like, I get it. But I would have told you, don't get Jordan Pope back. Could have told you that again. Day one.
But maybe they didn't have a choice. And I'm just playing devil's advocate.
They did have a choice. What the hell? They're paying him. It's not like he said, here's $50. Let me stay on the roster. They're giving him six figures, Matt, to be on this team. Oh, we couldn't find somebody else. The hell you couldn't. Because if we were bad and it was because you were training young players, then fine. Because I'm fine with putting a true freshman out there or somebody else and go, we're going to give him playing time and we'll see where the ball lands. We're probably not going to be great. But you knew you couldn't win anything with Jordan Pope as your starting point guard. You know that. And that's, again, program builder, coach. Need a program builder. Maybe that's too much asking.
I'm just saying maybe there weren't better options out there that they would realistically consider paying money for, because the Texas program is cheap and they have been cheap for a long time. Unless it comes down to a guy like Trey Johnson.
Yeah. There were some guys out there 100%. You could have paid a lot of money and this team would be much better right now. 100%. Yeah. I don't think they were going to spend that money, especially after firing Rodney Terry and signing Sean Miller. They weren't going to do it.
Which is my point. Not that I don't think that there's better players than Jordan or than Jordan Pope. Is that they weren't going to go out there and pay players that were better than Jordan Pope. I think that that's a systemic issue within the Texas program. Okay. And maybe Sean Miller needs to swing his big stick around a little bit more and say, give me what I need or I'm going to walk. And, you know, I don't think that he's going to do that, and I don't think that he should do that. But I get why he's frustrated. I get why Patrick's frustrated. I get why everybody's frustrated. Maybe we should just nuke the Texas basketball program and start all over. Be Texas A&M, have a completely new 16-man roster, bring in a new coach, you know, pay everybody new money and
beat
all this
A&M,
stuff.
End of the season, get to 20 wins, and we'll all be happy. Or 10 wins, yeah, sorry. Like, 10 wins, not 20. You ain't getting to 20.
Hey, you know, probably not, and that's okay. I think that they'll get to 20 next year, because I think that honestly here's what I think. I think that CDC is going to look at the product that they put on the floor this year and be incredibly embarrassed about what they put on the floor, and he's going to say, this can't happen again.
Yeah.
So here are the two things that are going to happen. We're going to spend a lot more money to bring in players that are going to play the way you want them to play and play your system and more talent and all these things. And if you can't get those guys to win in year two, I don't care what the buyout is. You're fucking fired. And that's it. And
yeah,
that's what he needs to do.
But again, you have to be able to go. The reality is you have to walk in and go, we need to get people who can build a program. And we all have a similar vision. We want to go do that, because the vision, what they had this year was, let's keep Tremont Mark. Let's do this. Let's get some guys that only play defense, really, and some guys that only play offense, really, and that'll somehow work. And we'll put them all together. And they're like, I just don't get why we kept some players and I get the concept of there was no one better there. But if you're saying these guys can't even show up at practice and try, and these guys can't show up in a game and go play defense at all, that's somewhere in there. So I'm with you, man. Yeah. You're right. You're right in a lot of what you're saying. It's the world of every game I have to sit back. And a lot of this is, I'm not even mad at Sean Miller so much as the people are like, God, isn't it refreshing to have somebody just complain about their not going to be good at their job? Like, no, it's not refreshing. It's not refreshing at all. I get you don't want coach speak. This is just, I'm blaming everybody else for the problems that I can't fix. And I don't like it. I don't like it from a guy that is we're giving a lot of money to.
I think it's very, very whiny baby, self-serving, woe is me mentality, and I can't stand it. It's the same reason that I couldn't stand covering Tim Jankovic in SMU basketball. But, you know, I don't think the program is in a good spot right now.
No.
And it's not really even up to Sean Miller to figure out, because he can only do so much with what he's given. It's up to CDC. to give him the resources and that player acquisition that he needs to field a successful basketball team. And if he doesn't do that, then the program is never going to be what they want it to be.
No, but this is, and look, I don't want to compare another Texas program to the Cowboys, but when Jerry Jones hires a coach who doesn't know how to walk into his office and go, I need this player and I need this and I need that. Sean Miller was hired. He's the golden boy. He is who CDC wanted to hire 2 years ago. And he just had to hire Ronnie Terry because Ronnie Terry's a good coach. Not a program builder. Getty's not a program builder. Texas needs a program builder. I'm with you on that, but a really good coach. And CDC goes, we're bringing you in. We're giving you all this. You're the golden boy. And if Sean Miller can't walk in and say, I need these things, I need that done, it's a long, long road for Texas basketball. I'm with you. I think three years is kind of the minimum you give a coach. I'm on board. Absolutely. I think Sean Miller's got the track record. I think there's lots of things. Again, there are positives. I tried to start off this segment before I started yelling about the positives. There are positives. They're just being heavily outweighed by a complete lack of preparation and a complete lack of things that were very avoidable. And then we're walking into things that we talked about a year ago, Matt, and there's still a problem at Texas. And you go, the fact that you're just going, man, I can't believe this. You go, really? You could have turned into open gym a year ago and already learned all of this information. And that shouldn't be the case. You guys should be smarter than us because I'm pretty sure you're making more money than us.
Yeah. And I think Naaman kind of poses an interesting question here is, to a certain degree, the NIL team thing that is happening in college basketball and is now starting to happen in college football. Like, your roster is just a bunch of paid mercenaries.
Somewhat.
And the majority of them are. Especially when you bring in a team that is completely all transfers and like four freshmen that you brought in or whatever.
Yeah.
Or guys that are just returning that you have to sign to new deals or whatever. Basketball is so much more like finite in terms of the mistakes you can make than in football. Like, if you recruit a player who doesn't pan out, there's other guys there that are ready to replace him. If you sign a point guard to a deal in college basketball and he sucks, well, there's only one other guy on the team that can possibly play that role. And maybe, and this is just, again, me playing devil's advocate, maybe Sean Miller is not built for today's landscape in college basketball. And maybe that's why guys like John Calipari aren't winning every national championship anymore. And all the way down, like, there has been a new shift in the way that college basketball is constructed, and maybe some of these older coaches are behind the times. And maybe that's why Bucky McMillan is doing some kind of fun things at Texas A&M, because all those dudes love playing for him, and they love what they're doing. They love the system they play, and they're putting in all the effort. I mean, I don't know if anybody watched that game last night, but holy cow, that was a wild game. And like, I don't see any possible scenario in which Texas could be down 16 points to a team in the SEC and crawl their way back into it and win it. Because I think this is a team that, number one, a lot of them don't even really want to be there. And number two, they just don't have the talent or really just the want to, like, if you get out on this team early, it's over. They're not coming back ever. It's just not happening. And that's partially because they're all new to everything. Like, every player on every program is almost new. Like, do you remember the March Madness graphic that I pulled up last year when we first kind of started the show?
Yeah.
About all the teams and their original starting five and where they were from. And there was like two teams who every player on their starting five signed with that program originally. And it was like Houston and Purdue. And that's it.
Yeah.
Like, that means something.
Oh, it does. 100%. No, so. and this is where I'll go with that, is that I agree. It's really, really hard. And there's a decent chance. Again, I'm trying not to say that Sean Miller can't do the job. I'm trying really hard to not say it, because I don't know, because we are too early in to say that. So I don't want to say Sean Miller, clearly the time has passed him by. He can't coach these kids. That's why they're not putting out the effort. That's why he's saying dumb things like, you tell a kid he can't walk in the street, and you're like, dude, that's literally your job. You're just saying I'm unqualified to do this when you say that. So I'm trying not to be that he can't be that. I think there's also a way different world of one sense is to win a national championship at basketball, which we are so far away from. You do really have to play in that world of getting super elite guys that are mercenaries and those guys. That is part of it. On the flip of that, to be a competitive basketball program in the SEC, you don't need all mercenaries. There's plenty of ballers out there. There's plenty of guys who aren't going pro that'll be really, really good college players for you that aren't just mercenary. You'll pay them well enough, and they'll be plenty happy to come and play on a good team and play for a good coach because it maybe gives them a shot to try and follow their dream, whether it be in the NBA, the NBDL, or maybe over in the G League or, you know, overseas somewhere. You could follow that dream a little bit longer. There's plenty of those guys out there. Again, that goes back to scouting. That goes back to finding the team that you need to build and a program builder building a philosophy. Look at Houston and Kelvin Sampson. That dude is an older dude. He is consistently competitive with guys that are maybe not five-star recruits. Very possible to do. So you can be there and be competitive. And I'm not even saying you got to be Houston. I'm saying you got to be in the tournament to start off and in this world. And I don't know if he's there. And so the NIL world, you could have gotten, like, again, we can say there's no one better than Jordan Pope. But if Jordan Pope can't get on the floor, then I don't know, a mop bucket's better than him at that point. Because he don't cost me six figures. So, I get it, and that's an overstatement for sure. But there's other players that you could have got that could have filled needs that you had. Simeon Wiltshire is one of them. And you could have said, Simeon Wiltshire's our starter. We're getting another guy, and we're going to figure out. I know he had best and high hopes. And going back, he probably would have done some things differently. I just need to see that change. And I'm stating a lot of this now so that when we get to next season, I can yell about it again and go, I've told you 6 months ago that this is what needs to happen.
We'll see. I still hold out hope that he's going to be able to turn around.
I'm holding out hope too, man. I'm rooting for this damn team. I'm rooting for him.
And I know that I've compared this to year one under Sark as well, because that team was that 5-7 team that had Bijan on it and a couple of really good players that stuck around was an extremely toxic team in terms of personalities and all that stuff. And Sark had to really, you know, weed out the troublemakers and bring in, you know, a new culture and all that stuff. Steve Sarkisian and Sean Miller are like very opposite ends of the spectrum in terms of who, like, their personalities and all the things that they do. So it's kind of an unfair comparison because I don't think that, like, Steve Sarkisian had to literally hit the bottom and crawl his way back up and change the way that he did things in order to get back into a position where he could be successful, which ultimately landed him the head coaching job at Texas. Sean Miller never really hit the bottom. He just left Arizona after a scandal, ended up back at Xavier, was pretty good, and now he got a new job. Two totally different paths to where they are now. So it's not a fair comparison. I just think that the powers that be who are above Sean Miller need to give him a lot of help if they're going to turn it around. And it's really going to determine probably over the next calendar year, whatever happens with this basketball program is going to determine whether or not they actually care about Texas basketball or not.
Yeah. And I think they're going to try and push in. And the question to me is, do you have somebody who understands what it takes where he can go and say, what was done at Arizona? Where at Arizona did we have the right things that you don't have here? Because that was a big piece with Sark too. When Sark came in, he goes, so Alabama's killing it, right? Here's what they're doing. Here's what you're doing. Here's the comparisons. Here's things we need to fix. As dumb as it is, one of the things Sark said first, and one of the first things Sark changed, was how many people were on the sideline at a game. Mm-hmm. He walked in and went, this is Bush League. How many people you have on the sideline? This is nonsense. There's way, way too many people. And I know you want to sell, you want to, you know, all these sponsors and everything else, this is not how we run a professional football team. This is not how we do this, because they're talking to my players during the game. Like, do you get how insane that is? Do you understand Nick Saban would have punched somebody if they would have talked to his players during the game? You want to be a national championship team, but you're not acting like it. And that kind of thing you wanted to get from Sean Miller, and I know he was removed from Arizona, and I mean removed from it and removed from it from time, but the thought was he has been part of a team that has consistently been in the conversation year after year. They bring in top players. What do they have there that we don't have here, and not just the name? And that's what you want out of hiring a guy like that, and we haven't gotten it yet. Still early, but the fact that we basically did nothing going into year one except for coaching and player development, and so far players are worse than they were before, is the reason why I get upset. Because what have you done? What have you done to earn the money so far? What happened other than you just walked in and said, give me a team and I'll coach them up? And I don't know how much of that behind the scenes he did. I don't know how much pushback there was. I don't know where it was scouting-wise, all that stuff. It feels like the moment Ryan Conwell said he wasn't coming, this season was done for Sean Miller. Because he was just like, if I could take Xavier's roster right now, that made the tournament, and then add in a couple players, we'd be pretty good. And then he couldn't even bring the roster over. He brings over Dalen Swain. He brings over Lucina Traore, who's his guy who didn't play in the second half. It's a guy he recruited. He brought over. Like, he only kept a few Texas players, really, that are playing. Kept Tremont Mark, which I get if the price is right on Tremont Mark, you can still look. He's a former All-SEC player. He's not the dude. But if you're in the right area, then you're good to go. And he can play defense and offense. So you feel okay about keeping Tremont Mark. He played better at the end of last season as well. You have Kendall Weaver, who is, again, probably not that expensive. He brought Kendall Weaver to SEC Media Days. And then that hasn't worked out. And you have Dalen Swain, who really, the big piece now is, can you keep Dalen Swain and get him to progress and to being consistent? Because as soon as they treated Dalen Swain is the number one option, Tennessee did, he disappeared offensively. So there's just a lot of pieces that he still has to, and I just don't like how far we are into the season with no identity of the team. He says that again, how much closer are you to figuring out the identity of this team? And he goes, none, not even a second closer. And you're like, dude, that's all on you. And like, that was a problem with Rodney Terry. Rodney Terry didn't have an identity. There's no team identity for Rodney Terry. It's a problem, not fixed. So all these things that we were trying to fix are somehow not fixed or worse. How are we starting a year behind of a rebuild where I don't see the staff being better? I don't see scouting being better. I don't see any of that happening. I like that you got in some young recruits. Those recruits are all good players. They're all guards. They're all kind of used to be sharpshooters and other, like, I don't know how much of it's going to make you an elite team. It'll make you better. But a lot of them aren't going to be able to play huge minutes next year either. You're going to have to go back in the portal again. So I get frustrated with it because we're now, what? He came in March. We're 9 months into him being a coach, 8 months into him being a coach. And we're worse than we were when he stepped in. That's why I'm upset about it. I have not seen any progress in 8 months. And I want to see him, instead of going, man, I want him to go, this is way harder than I thought it was. I didn't realize how down Texas was. Say that if you want to be honest. But don't blame it on the players over and over again. It's everything. It's everything. And you didn't change any of it. Not a lick of it. You kept the guys. You went out and you got a couple guys. And Modest, who you brought in, you couldn't play in the second half. Jordan Pope, you kept, couldn't play in the second half. Traore, you brought with you, couldn't play in the second half. So it's
frustrating. I think I've actually, while you've been talking, figured out the problem with Texas basketball, and it could really be boiled down to one thing and one thing in particular.
Okay, what's that?
They didn't bench Quinn Ewers.
That is it.
Yeah. They should have benched Quinn.
Should have signed. Hey, by the way college basketball is going, he's still got eligibility. He could come back. He could come back and get benched. We don't know. Yeah, the eligibility stuff in college too. It's ridiculous and crazy. And they just don't want lawsuits. They got to figure something out. It, CB, you're dead on, man. CB, you're dead on. Yeah, and Salvatore, that's the thing too. Is like I would have kept Ronnie Terry for another year and put people around him and tried to hire other staff and kept that money instead of paying him out and kept their staff. That's what I would have done if I was running this program and it was in charge. That's what I would have done. They decided we want to move on to get a program builder. They've got a program builder who has not started building a program yet. 9 months, 8 months into his run. I think Royal Ivy would have come in with a bigger passion. Now, I've never personally talked to Royal Ivy about his interest in being the head coach of Texas. I have talked to people who have personally talked to Royal Ivy about his head coach of being the head coach of University of Texas. And apparently there was a lot of interest. It was not met with the interest from the school of Texas. It was met from just Royal Ivy. I would have been more interested to see what he would have done. I will tell you this for 100% knowledge that I have. Royal Ivy's defense would have been better. I don't know if the offense would have been, but the defense would have been better. I can tell you that. We would be scoring. We may be scoring 60 points a game, but that defense would be good. All right, Matt, let's take our second break real quick so I can take a deep breath. We'll come back and wrap it up here with your chats, with whatever you guys want to talk about, meathead of the day, all the good stuff as we wrap it up here. On a Wednesday edition of Open Gym here on Texas Sports Unfiltered.
Hi, I'm Hayden Covert. Welcome to Covert Buick GMC of Bee Cave, your home in the Hill Country for new and pre-owned Buick and GMC vehicles. With beautiful inventory arriving daily, including the GMC Yukon, Sierra 1500, and Buick Enclave, you'll be certain to find the perfect vehicle at an incredible deal. Our service department is also open for all your vehicle maintenance needs. Visit us today for a test drive. Covert, born and raised in Austin. We are professional grade.
Altstadt Beer, the best beer that you can find all throughout the great state of Texas. Y'all know I've been a fan of Altstadt for years now. And if you try it, I think you will be too. If you've already tried it, you know exactly what I am talking about. Altstadt is brewed locally in Fredericksburg, but available all over the state of Texas. So if you're tuned in Austin, San Antonio, Dallas, Houston, it does not matter. You can find Altstadt at a local grocery store or liquor store. They've got a bunch of different brews. Something for every beer drinker out there. The Lager, the Kolsch, those are their two flagship beers. Both award winners. They are fantastic. The Altstadt Light sacrifices on calories but does not sacrifice on the taste. They've got great pills, tons of great seasonals as well. I'm telling you, one sip and you won't go back to the other beers you've been drinking in the past. It is the official beer of BK. It should be the official beer of you as well. It's Altstadt Beer. No impurities, no regrets.
Hey, y'all, I'm Camille McKay.
And I'm Tom McKay, owner of Audiovisual Consultations.
The old man and I are here to give you your summer weather forecast. It's hot.
That's right, kid.
Which means it's time for pool parties, grilling burgers, and taking a beach vacation, right?
Well, I don't know about a vacation, but Audiovisual brings more heat than any tropical destination.
It was worth a shot. I'll settle for some outdoor speakers.
You know, Audiovisual can do a lot more than that. We provide outdoor video screens, audio systems, landscape lighting, even solar shades for your patio to keep the Texas heat at bay.
Well, I'm sold. Let's wrap this up. I'm ready to lounge on a floaty and listen to some smooth jazz.
Well, that sounds wonderful, but some smooth reggae is the way to go this summer.
Good thing we can listen to both with the Sonos sound system. I call dibs on the floaty, though. Peace out.
Kid, wait a second. Give us a call at 512-255-8678 or visit us at avconsultations.com. That's 512-255-8678.
Back here on Open Gym on Texas Sports Unfiltered, wrapping the show up on a Wednesday afternoon. Appreciate you dealing with me while I rant and rave for a little bit. And deep breaths. It's a tense time right now, Matt. It's a tense time here. It's tense with everything going on. And, you know, you're kind of hoping that basketball will be the positive distraction right now. It is not the positive distraction right now. My Spurs keep losing games, too. And now, man, Spurs Lakers tonight. I gotta hope that Wemby gets it together for tonight, and they play better. Well, that's going. My dog is not appreciative of me ranting and raving about this. he's ready for dinner. Done with the rant and raving, Dad. But yeah, it is Look, I appreciate you guys hanging out with us and doing that with us on the text line. Chance says, time to start Wilchert. I mean, yeah, I think probably give Jordan Pope one more game to see if he picks it up or not, just because that's kind of standard operating procedure. I'd be fine with him starting Wilcher this weekend, but I assume Pope is still the starter. If, you know, you want to make, see if that benching works. You want to see if it you know, connects to his brain that he's going to have to try more. I don't know if he has any defensive acumen whatsoever, so I don't know how much more he could try. Modest Wojcicki, he got to start still. He was a guy who got benched for personal fouls and not really getting the effort defensively. So you gotta play him, though, because other than him, you really got no bigs. So you got to go out there and play him. Another texter says, very true. Basketball isn't any good. Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of, it's just not very good right now. It's not very good right now. Matt, did we get any major time transfers in the last 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 30 minutes when I was yelling?
Relique Brown and Zion Williams are both on campus right now, and I would be surprised if they left the facility without committing or signing or something to that effect. So there's probably going to be some good news to come here in the next few hours. I think Texas is in it really hard for Bruner, the guard from Washington, from Wisconsin. So that could be something that, that pops here pretty soon. Good things are coming. Then by the time we start tomorrow, I wouldn't be surprised if we had, if Texas had two new commits and two new players in the transfer portal. So
yeah, I like one of those things. I like one of those things, man. Yeah, I mean, it'd be nice if we got some really positive news just before Friday, man. Just before the Friday show. Well, I mean, you got, is your game tomorrow night?
Ole Miss in Miami at 6:30 p.m. tomorrow night.
So yeah, we got to get into that tomorrow too, because I know my man Matt has an intense breakdown of what Ole Miss needs to do to beat Miami. Are you happy that you're playing Miami and not Oregon or Indiana in the semifinal, or would you prefer an Oregon team?
I'd rather play Oregon.
Okay. Miami's playing great football right now.
Miami's defensive line scares the absolute crap out of me. Like, whoever wins this game is going to win the national championship.
Okay. All right. What if Indiana wins by like 35 against Oregon? Doesn't change your mind at all?
Maybe. I don't know. Possibly. Probably not. But I mean, they played to one score earlier in the year, so I find it hard to believe it would be that uncompetitive.
No, that's my point, though, is if they just blow out Alabama by 35, which I get Alabama is not as good of a team as it was in years past. I get all that. Oregon, though, if they win though both those games by 35, you're like, whew, all right. Something's going on over there in Indiana.
Yeah. I think Texas would have beat Alabama by 35, though, if I'm being honest.
We could have stopped that run. It wasn't that hard to stop, but we couldn't get our own run going. Let's get to our meathead of the day here, Matt. What do I have hidden away here? I don't even know if I pulled the right one. Let me see if I can go pull this one real quick.
Well, before you do that.
Yes.
Chad Scott was just hired as the running backs coach at North Texas.
Shocking. Is he co-offensive coordinator?
Expected to be hired. I thought he was going to Florida, but so I guess Jaden Baugh decided to go back to Florida before he had a running backs coach. I don't know.
I mean, if you get the right number, then you gotta, you know, he wanted to go there in the first place. He may get sold on what's happening. Yeah. Chad Scott, though, North Texas, is that where, what's his name is went? Neil Brown. Right? Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't surprise me if he got like a co-OC or something like that title as well. Would not surprise me greatly. All right, let's hit this because we haven't played it yet, and I pulled it aside, but I didn't download it to give something that we just need to close out bowl season. You know, we have to show this clip to close out bowl season, man.
Coach, I got my kid. This is my daughter Riley. This is my son.
You're gonna
Jim.
Make me
this
watch
my son,
this.
Jace. We're ready for the mailbag.
Some emotional support. Oh boy. 4.5 gallons of pure white goodness. Oh!
That's disgusting.
Whoa! How does that taste? It tastes like sweet victory. That's all I know.
That is
That wasn't mayonnaise.
That's mayonnaise, man.
That wasn't mayonnaise. Mayonnaise doesn't just flow like that.
They may have watered it down. They may have watered down the mayonnaise.
I don't know, man. I think they're lying to everybody. I don't think that was mayonnaise.
Well, that's Jake Dickert, head coach of Wake Forest, after they won the Duke's Mayo Bowl, getting mayo poured over. Does it with his kids, which is he going to pay for the therapy for the kids after that?
That was the most disgusting. If that actually is mayonnaise, that's the most disgusting thing I've ever seen.
Oh, that kid's going to shriek for a month. Kids don't clean themselves properly. Be just finding mayonnaise in March. That's what's going to be happening. All right, we got to get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow. Matt promised good news in the portal. He promised it. He's given his Matt Latson guarantee. I won't put that on you. We're hoping for some good news in the portal before tomorrow, so we cannot be quite as tense as we have been. Texas doesn't play basketball again tonight, so we got that. We're going to break down some Ole Miss versus Miami as well, as we are getting down to the nitty gritty of the college football playoffs. All that and much more tomorrow. But until then, be kind, be safe, keep your underwear clean. We'll see you right back here tomorrow for more from Open Gym.